You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Science has proven to be a key part of how Aotearoa society functions, but its importance isn't reflected in the amount of funding allocated to research. To future-proof our country, we have to reevaluate. Today I spoke with Dr. Lucy Stewart, Senior Scientist and Co-President of the New Zealand Association of Scientists, on the topic. I started by asking what the highlights of the recent budget announcement were for her.
I think the highlights for me were the announcement of the funding for an RNA research centre, which is obviously a really promising area of research. We've seen that with the mRNA vaccines for COVID, and it's exciting to see more of that being done here. There was also a fairly substantial tranche of funding announced for climate change research into agriculture, which is really vitally needed.
Perfect. And what are the pitfalls, things that aren't really cutting it, in your opinion?
What's not really cutting it is this was very much a business as usual budget, so it was kind of the same amounts of money, and we're obviously in a time of extreme inflation. Scientists have to pay to live the same as anybody else, and for a lot of New Zealand science, we're a long way from anywhere. We have to import a lot of specialty stuff to do especially lab work. Those costs are going up. It costs more to do science, and the amount of money the government is giving scientists is not changing.
So for people who aren't aware, what are the main funds in Aotearoa that researchers generally work towards? Are they all government funded, or is there commercial interest in science as well?
So there is an increasing degree of commercial interest in science. That doesn't tend to be funds that people can apply for so much. That tends to be businesses doing internal research and development. The main external funding is largely through the government. There's a little bit of philanthropic funding. So that is the largest amounts come from the government through the Marsden Fund, which is for sort of blue sky research, and the Endeavour Fund, which is bigger amounts for much more applied research, where you have to show sort of what immediate effect in the economy your research is going to have.
So as you've kind of touched on, the hot topics are obviously climate change and vaccine development, which is fantastic, and it makes sense because it is so pressing. Just how much of the funding has gone towards these sort of projects? What's the kind of lay of the land in terms of that?
So there was $40 million was put over 4 years towards the new RNA centre for about $10 million a year, and then I believe it was about $700 million over some period of time towards climate change research.
And investors do want material benefits out of their input. They want results and kind of bang for their buck, so to speak. But does that mean, in your opinion, that we're kind of losing touch with the spirit of science, the pursuit of knowledge just for the sake of it due to economic pressure? What are your thoughts on the amount of funding that's likely to get allocated to what you might call interest projects, things outside of the very pressing realms?
Yeah, so the major suite of funding for kind of what we call blue sky science, where we don't necessarily know exactly where it's going to be applied, but we know that often this research leads into applied things eventually. This is the Marsden Fund, and the Marsden Fund funding has essentially been flat for some years now, so that's essentially a sinking lid, right, in terms of what you can really get, particularly if you look at the individual amounts each researcher can get through the fund. That hasn't changed significantly, and you know, the costs of labour have gone up. They've just increased the amount they give to PhD students, which is fantastic because they deserve to be paid for their work if they're working full time. But it means you're getting less science out of the same amount of money, and the money isn't going up.
Would you say that in general the research project allocation is becoming more homogenous? Are we seeing more of the same themes coming up, or in general is it kind of heterogeneous? Are we looking at a lot of projects across a lot of different fields?
That's hard to say. I mean, again, most funds, people are applying. It's a very... The important thing is we're in a really hyper-competitive situation for funding. So if you look at the Marsden Fund, for instance, it's about a 10% success rate. So one in every 10 people who applies will actually get the money, which means I think people are playing it very safe in terms of what they apply for. I've certainly experienced as a scientist, you almost feel like you have to have done the research before you apply for the grant so you can prove that the research works before they'll give you the money for it. And I know there's a lot of other researchers who have shared that feeling. So it's it's just very competitive, more and more people going for the same pot of money, and I think that works against people being innovative.
And do you think that there are any mitigating factors that we can think of? You've kind of touched on it just then. Is it simply a matter of giving more money to scientists? Are the ideas out there and we just need to broaden our scope of what we're looking at?
So I think there's two things. The first thing is that, yeah, more money always helps, right? You can do more things with more money. The second thing is what we've seen come up a lot in the Te Ara Paerangi Future Pathways consultation process on the science system is that because there's an extreme focus on kind of results and efficiency, people don't have money or time to do the things that actually support the system and support us doing good science. In order to set up collaborations, you know, you have to have coffee with people, you have to have meetings where there isn't necessarily a paper you can point to, but you've established the relationships so that you can do the project next year. And in the current hyper-competitive system, there's just very little funding for or kind of support for people to do that relationship building work, both within the science community and between the science community and the rest of Aotearoa. So that's what I'd really like to see, is kind of some smarter spending and understanding that just because you can't point to a publication for every dollar doesn't mean that it wasn't valuable or didn't lead to something.
There is change predicted in what you touched on there in the Te Ara Paerangi Future Pathways program, which is being carried out by MB, and that's focused on the research system, as you've said. Is the consensus in the scientific community that this sort of intervention is going to be helpful?
I think there is hope that it will be helpful. I think those of us who have been kind of going to the workshops and doing submissions, we have seen that MB are listening to what we're saying. So we had some workshops at the end of 2021 and before submissions were due this year, and MB were really good about kind of reflecting back what they'd heard from the workshops. They're being very proactive about reaching out to people. So we're hopeful, but as good as the consultation process is, what ultimately matters is the decisions that are made at the end of it. And I guess we're all waiting to see what options are going to be presented to us.
And finally, is there anything that I haven't touched on that you think the public should be aware of about the state of the research ecosystem in Aotearoa?
I think the most important thing for me, so I've had a real focus on kind of supporting early career researchers and being one for a long time, is that we have a system that really cycles people through. So people come into the system for a few years, normally during their PhD, which is sort of 3 to 5 years, and then, you know, they leave because there aren't jobs for them. They go overseas sometimes, or they leave the science system altogether. That's not conducive to building long-term relationships, again, between researchers and non-researchers, but also within the research community. It's not conducive to working on projects that take kind of long periods of time and maintaining institutional knowledge. And whatever comes out of the Te Ara Paerangi process, I really want to see a focus on, you know, we accept not everybody who does a PhD is going to stay in the research system, but making sure that we're not in a state where a lot of people are there for a very short time and only a few people are there for a long time, kind of getting some of that balance back.
That was me speaking with Dr. Lucy Stewart, co-president of the New Zealand Association of Scientists, about the research ecosystem in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.